When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Wednesday, January 27th, with the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Raj Giri, as here with the regular Wednesday crew of Alfred Kanawa and Matt Morgan. Guys, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Alfred?
Great. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of had no sleep over the past week moving Wrestling Inc. to this new platform. I know people who visit the site they probably saw some technical errors from Friday over the weekend. All those are sorted out. We're just fixing some small kinks here and there, but hopefully everything should be good.
What do you mean to a new platform? So, like, it's a new design or something on it?
It's a whole new system. So the system it was on before is one I had programmed, and I had started it 20 years ago, and I've just been constantly redoing the code, recoding it, upgrading it. And then finally, I've just been so – it's been like 5 years where I'm like, I need to get away from the technical side and move it to this new system. But I've basically
dummy
been
that
only...
down more. Dummy that down more.
What's that?
Dummy that down a little bit more. What do you mean?
So the system, so like CNNs and TMZs, they're usually on these systems like a WordPress or Joomla.
Oh.
So there are these large CMSs, they call them, and mine is basically one that I just programmed myself and that I've been constantly upgrading and fixing bugs and redesigning. Over the years, and finally it's like it's just better to move it all to one place, but I'm the only one that knows my code, so it's just been tricky just finding developers. And so finally I did a lot of it myself on one end, and then, you know, had some CMS developers on the other end. But it's been it's been all right, all things considered, considering how long.
Why not do that for other people and make money off?
I don't have time. I mean, people ask, you mean create websites? I used to do that that used to be my business, was in addition to Wrestling Inc. I had a couple other websites, and then I'd create websites, but then I just had to stop. Just cause.
So Raja WWF really was you. I knew it. I knew it.
No, that one's not me.
Over 40-plus-year-old wrestling fans will know what that is.
Yeah.
That was like one of the first, like, dirt sheets I think I ever stumbled upon.
I used to think that was you too, Raj, for a while. Like, I just figured to know that's got to be the same person. Like, what are the odds?
There's a lot of people that thought that. what are the odds? Two guys named Raj having pro wrestling sites at the same time. Yeah. I didn't put mine in the name, but anyway. So Dynamite and NXT. I thought Dynamite, I did not get to watch NXT. I'm going to watch that after we're done. But Dynamite, I thought, was a really good show. I thought it was better than last week. I thought last week was kind of below average for what they had been doing. I thought it was a big improvement.
It was better than NXT tonight. Surprise. But NXT's putting some good shows out, by the way. But I thought AEW won tonight.
Yeah, more entertaining show for sure.
Yeah,
and I think that's one thing NXT, I hope they work on this at some point, is making the show seem more lively and more colorful. Yeah. You don't have to stick to just yellow and black. You can add some other colors and make it look more, more lively. But we'll go through AE Dynamite first. AE Dynamite opened with Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer. Jake the Snake Roberts came out with Archer, and Archer told him to go to the back. So Jake went to the back. This match was basically Archer just killing Kingston. At one point, he hit a choke slam from inside of the ring to the outside. That looked brutal. Kingston hit the apron and then fell down. I mean, it looked like it could have been bad when they showed the replay. Mm-hmm. He had landed on his hip. But Archer was killing him. I think at that point you knew that Kingston was going to win. And at the end, there was a distraction. Butcher and the Blade came out. They had Jake the Snake basically held captive. And then the Bunny handed some brass knucks to Kingston, who backfisted it on Archer's face, and Kingston got the win.
Nice backfist.
Your thoughts?
That was a very good backfist. That's so hard to do. That's something I never could pull off. I never tried to either, but I always thought I'd clobber somebody. I remember working on it, I swear to God, like one day before our show at TNA with Kong. Kong threw an amazing backfist.
Right.
But she also wore them MMA gloves, which gives you a little bit of cushion behind it. So if you stiff the crap out of somebody, you kind of help them. You kind of protect them a little bit. Same with Undertaker. When he started throwing those soup bones in the corner with his punches, he has those MMA gloves, so it's a little bit of padding on it. It doesn't hurt as much. But that was really good. I like this. I like him going over. I know I always want to defend the big guys and say Monster shouldn't be losing this early on in their career with AEW, you know, a year in Archer is, right, maybe. But I like, as long as Kingston won, I was cool with that.
And Kingston could use it. I mean, because he loses, right? A lot. I think he's all only won one singles match, so.
On Dynamite. That's how good he is at getting his steam back and his heat back. But, yeah, it was good. Good win for him.
Yeah.
It really was. And I love Lance Archer. I really don't like seeing him lose, but they do a good job of protecting him. And this is a perfect way to get Eddie Kingston over Lance Archer, given the fact that Eddie Kingston is tough as nails. That's his character. You can believe him taking a beating and then finally at the end coming up with some nefarious means to win the match. They're even talking up how much of a scumbag he is throughout the match on commentary. So this all made sense in terms of how Eddie Kingston would be able to beat Lance Archer. Because Lance Archer, you're right, Raj, just beat the crap out of Eddie Kingston. Looked like $1 million for this match. And then Eddie Kingston pulled out a cheap way to win. I had no problem with this.
Yeah, that being said, I do think Lance Archer should get some more wins because he doesn't get that many wins on Dynamite 2. So, you know, again, you have a few monsters. Let's build them up a little more. But yeah. It was a strong opener. Up next, we had a promo with Jon Moxley, who was talking. He's just doing a promo, very self-aware, saying he's a simple man. He likes his water lukewarm, room temperature, his coffee hot, his beer cold. He likes sex in the morning, so you start off the day right, which I can see that. And then he just
you want to go into some detail about that, Raj?
Yeah, no, I'm a morning sex fan as well. But anyway, Moxley tells his partners Pac and Phoenix to saddle up for their match at Beach Break against Kenny Omega, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson. Alfred, I'll shoot to you first.
I just love these. Jon Moxley is like can't miss when it comes to these. Not that he's bad live, but whenever he has that certain amount of time to cut this backstage promo where he has a lot of information to get out in not that much time, it's a very, very difficult skill to do in pro wrestling, and he's better than just about anybody.
That's a very adept viewpoint on that, actually. Good. I'm happy to hear you catch that because you're right. He's putting – usually the definition of something like that would be like, I don't know. When somebody would critique that promo backstage, normally they'd say, you know, John, that's you basically put out 20 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. You put too much in that, you know, so people aren't going to remember everything you said because you put way too much out there. Not in his case. He's able to do that, which is next to impossible. They teach us not to do that, quite frankly, in promos, in promo class. He's that good. He is that good at it.
FH with the five pound super chat saying, I like that on tonight's Dynamite there were matches where I wasn't sure who would win, mainly Archer versus Kingston and Jungle Boy versus Dax.
Yeah, especially that one.
And
yep, good point.
So I was going to use that whole sex thing to transition to our sponsor tonight, but I'm going to hold off on that for a little bit. One thing that should be pointed out, a lot of people actually were not able to see the first match. I guess
why?
Dynamite, the feed was down for like YouTube TV, Hulu, the TNT app, a few other places. So a lot of people were complaining online that they weren't able to watch it.
Wow.
Up next, we had a Sting promo with Darby Allin. They talked about how they were called a hoodlum by Taz. Then they basically started talking about how they are hoodlums. Darby threw his skateboard through a window, and then Sting started bashing some of the windows with his bat.
No. No, Sting, you're not a hoodlum. No. No.
We've seen Sting for 30 years. He's
no.
We know him as a California surfer and the Crow.
Can we just, like, I felt bad because I like Steve a lot, but, like, this made me feel like he's trying to be the old man hanging out with the young kid and trying to be hip and cool. And this young kid saying we're, what do you call it again? Hoodlums?
Hoodlums?
Yeah, we're hoodlums. Yes. Yes, we're hoodlums. That's what these kids must be saying today. Yes. Hashtag hoodlums. Yes. You know, like, trying to be hip and cool. Doesn't fit them. It's not who you are. It's saying you're a legend. Get that word. No one's ever going to consider you a hoodlum. No one has ever considered you a hoodlum. Now, Darby Allin, that works for him. That works for him all day.
Right. Alfred.
I actually didn't see it that way. I thought there was a level of self-awareness to when Sting was saying he's a hoodlum. It's not like he was wearing a backwards hat or a hoodie, or he was trying to dress young, or he was trying to convince us that he was. He kind of deadpanned the camera. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm a hoodlum. Like, he thought it was ridiculous. So I didn't think that he was really trying to convince us he was. I think he just said that because they're doing a street fight. So I actually was kind of entertained by this.
But he did just that by starting bashing windows with his back.
Sure, yeah. And they got a little tough at the end, like it was a, you know, Michael Jackson.
So this was a middle-aged Alfred. You're missing the middle-aged 50-plus-year-old man meltdown that's still in the Snickers bar at the Target because he sees the kid in front of him doing it. Like, it's a mid-age crisis. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it would have been better if he said, you know, I may be a legend, I may be a Hall of Famer, but I could still be a hoodlum or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what you're saying. It would be like if Sting was saying, hey, Darby, you're keeping it 100. You know, like, it just, just keep it. You're a legend. You're an icon. Just keep the verbiage that way. And Darby, I got to say, his promo did nothing for me here. I don't know. He's got to step up his game when he's in the segments with Sting, because a lot of people are going to be watching these.
Yeah. The aesthetics of it was cool. The setup of it, I guess, was cool, right?
Yeah.
No, you're right. A lot of people are going to watch it. And what sucks for him is Sting is sneaky tall. He's like 6'4", 6'5". He's a sneaky tall guy. It's weird.
Yeah,
Darby was sitting down. I think it was kind of smarter than to have Darby sitting down.
Yes, it was.
Instead of standing right next to him.
Because when they were in the ring, what was it, last week and the week before that, I was like, stay away from him. Don't get too close.
Yeah.
You know, keep your space, just because he dwarfs him so much. And we know Darby's short. We're not trying to hide that, but I don't know. I just want him to do well, right?
This would have been funny. Tim Mickles, Sting yelled out, cops are coming! up next, we had Chris Jericho and MJF versus the Varsity Blondes. Man, if you look at pictures of Jericho from the early 90s when he teamed with Lance Storm, he looks just like Riff Garrison. It's insane.
Yeah,
I could see it.
Google Chris Jericho and Lance Storm, and you'll see some of those pictures. It's wild. But yeah, this was another good match. It was everything it was supposed to be. You knew what the finish was at the end. Pillman sent. Jericho sent Pillman down to the apron and got him back in the ring, hit the Judas effect and the Lion Salt, which looked good this week, and got the cover, 1-2-3. So Chris Jericho and MJF getting the win.
Good, easy match. Needed to be exactly what it was.
I think that Lion Salt was a message. Jericho had already knocked out, I think it was Griff Garrison, with his Judas effect. And then while he was down, he hit the Lion Salt. And then JR even made a point saying he hit it perfectly this time.
Right.
There was a little controversy last week with people saying that Jericho should retire the move and whatnot. But Jericho looked perfect doing the move.
Yeah.
That's definitely why he did it. He always makes the pin after the Judas effect, obviously, right? So,
Jericho hears him. Just like Jericho's starting to get low-key into shape. Like, he's starting to lose that gut, because I know that the whole controversy with the NBA fans going after him is probably something that he picked up on too. And Jericho loves showing people up.
Who fans?
Well, NBA Twitter got after Jericho because of his body. It was a whole thing last month when there was a big NBA lead-in. A lot of the NBA fans saw Jericho for the first time in years, and they were like, oh, man, this is what Chris Jericho looks like. They body-shamed him. And so now I've just been noticing that in the recent weeks, Jericho's been looking in better and better shape.
Yeah, he even posted a photo on his Instagram of him looking in good shape.
Yeah, he looks good.
But, NBA Twitter can be brutal, so... Up next, so after the match, MJF and Sammy Guevara just argued a little bit. So overall, the group looks to be together, but they were still jaw-jacking. And we went to this promo with Pac, and Pac was just going nuts. I don't know what the hell he said, but it was awesome. He's just as intense as you could be. I thought it was one of those promos. It was like Ultimate Warrior back in the day. You don't know what he's talking about, but it was freaking cool. Matt, what do you think?
He's very intense, and he's jacked. So there's something about it when his intensity matches his physique, if you will. It just adds so much more to it. Like, I believe him when he talks.
Right.
I do. I don't think he thinks he's the shortest guy in the room at all. I think he thinks he's 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I buy everything he says.
Yeah, and he should be on TV every week, whether it's live or whether he does these remotes, because I know he's not able to be in the country, and that's one of the reasons that he'll disappear for a few weeks on end. But when you see things like this, it's like, this guy's so talented that he should command this type of real estate every single week. So if they can't get him in the building, I really want to see more stuff like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Jess Callens is asking, where do you see this partnership or whatever it is with AEW and Impact ending up being in the long run? Tony Khan buying them? I'm confused.
I mean, maybe. Who the hell knows? I just know. Look, I've watched Tony Khan do a couple interviews on this subject already. I'm sure you guys have too. And he's trying to make it sound like he's showed everybody up, like how this is working and stuff. And it's like, brother, it's working for Impact. It ain't working for you. You're still not the one making out in this deal. Love the Good Brothers. But you guys could have had them. Could have had them under contract already. Kenny Omega, your world champion, going to their show, I'll still argue, is a bigger deal for their show, for their brand, for Impact. Impact was dead. Almost every nail was in that coffin but one. You know, I hate saying that, it's my old company, but it's the truth. And I think it's a one-sided deal still. I think Don Callis, everybody I talk to keeps saying Don Callis is the smartest man in pro wrestling right now, is what he looks like.
Yeah, Alfred?
I think when you look at where the pro wrestling business is headed, it's not necessarily a pay-per-view business as much as it is a live streaming and content business. So I think Tony Khan has in mind that he's in a new company with not a lot of back catalog, not a lot of content. So if he can work together with a lot of these different companies, maybe he will start buying them up, if nothing else, so that when they make a pitch to sell their content to somebody, they've got all these libraries that will make them more valuable or whatnot. But I do think that the long play is to have some type of AEW streaming service. And if he owns Impact Wrestling and these other companies, he's going to be able to add to that. And it'll be easier to sell that to somebody who, like one of these upstart streaming services who you see are bidding billions of dollars on this type of content.
Wow.
I mean, that is a good point, because right now, I mean, even Impact's ratings haven't gone up. I mean, they did right after Kenny Omega came in. They had a little 2-week bump. This week they were up a little bit. Last week they did one of their worst ratings in a couple months, or their lowest since mid-November. So just to put it in perspective, this past week they did a 0.05 in their demo, and AEW does a 0.36. So that's 620% higher than what Impact does. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean...
Can I just say we were doing, like, 1.4s and shit? Did I just say that? 0.05, did you say?
Yeah, that's in the demo, that rating, But 0.05, not 0.5, right?
Heartbreak. That is heartbreaking. I hate it.
Over a million viewers every week on Spike, without fail for a while.
Yeah, it'd be like...
It breaks my heart.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like Evolve. I mean, I guess Evolve doesn't exist anymore, but, you know, someone like that invading Raw. Just what WWE doesn't really have anything to gain from it. But to your point, Alfred, if the point is to pick up companies, and he did have the chance to buy Impact a while ago. He didn't throw his hat on. He wanted to start something new. But, you know, with what we're seeing with what WWE is making with the deal with Peacock, you can see that he would have to purchase them out, because Impact does have their own streaming service. So they showed earlier in the night Shaq challenged Cody to a match in March. He just said in March. He didn't say a date. The one thing, they cut away so quick that it didn't, it was just so quick that it kind of took away from it. Matt, what'd you think?
So I felt, originally that was my first thought, but then because I want this company to do well, right? This was another – this is where I'm not grading them fairly. If this was WWE, I'd probably jump all over them for it. But because it's AEW, I want to see them do well. They're only a one-year-plus-old company. They've my brain wants to shut off and go, shut up, Matt. It's friggin' Shaquille O'Neal. They have friggin' Shaquille O'Neal on their show. That's a big deal. That's a bigger deal than them maybe not executing it perfectly, his segment on it. But, again, Shaquille O'Neal was on their show. So that's a win.
Yeah, sure. And that's definitely a great aspect is having Shaquille O'Neal on the show. But it just still feels kind of tongue-in-cheek. You know, like, ha-ha, we're going to have a wrestling match. I'm not saying Shaq should be serious. Like, he wants to kill Cody, but I would like a little better storytelling in terms of why there's a conflict. Like, you know, an actual segment maybe in the studio between Cody and Shaq, because this back and forth isn't really working for me.
Yeah.
What would it be? What would their point, what would their bone of contention like be about? Like, that? Yeah. No one's ever going to buy those two. They're seriously. Shaquille would kill him. Would kill him.
Yeah. Well, they haven't explained the most basic thing, which is what is Shaq and Jade Cargill's relationship? Like, why are they?
Yeah, why are they not explaining that?
I mean, just a small thing, like their childhood friends, or like Shaq pulled strings to get Jade in the business. Anything to explain?
I thought you guys told me they're dating.
Well, that is the.
I don't know that.
Nah, yeah.
Oh, that's my bad. A rumor. I thought they were like getting married or something. I'm dead serious. I didn't know that. Okay, my bad.
That's a rumor. But again, for 99.5% of the people watching haven't heard that. No. Give them anything, because right now there's absolutely no story as to why they're doing this. So,
no, they got to explain. They definitely need to explain that then. I thought I knew this from the back end, from, you know, you, somebody telling me that they may be an item, right? But obviously, if they're not, then you need to say what the hell it is. That, how'd you get in the company? Why is she bringing up Shaquille O'Neal's name every week? Like, you got to explain that.
Yeah. I mean, they should explain that the first week she was there. Like, why she's there for Shaq.
Like, right? Like, that'd be like my first week at Impact, and this is like when Hogan's still like with WWE or something like that. And I'm like, and Hulk Hogan's going to be coming out here to take you on, Jeff Jarrett. Like, wait, what?
Right.
How do you know Hulk?
Yeah. It'd
and
be
more,
like,
more importantly, how the hell you know Hulk? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It would be like if Lita made her debut coming out during a Stone Cold promo and saying, I'm bringing in Tyson. Tyson's coming after you. You'd be like, oh, what?
What? What is your connection? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, anyway, so Cody and Arn Anderson came out. Tony asked Cody to reply to Shaq. And Cody said, you know, noted that Brandy and him they're pregnant, now having a baby. He asked Arn Anderson what he should be doing. Arn talked about, kind of went into this long thing about how Dusty didn't miss his birth and he still showed up, which made no sense because he's not even going to be close to missing Brandy giving birth. And then he just said, I think your partner should be he is someone that's had a problem with Jade. And then he brings out Red Velvet. Now, Red Velvet cut a promo, and she says she is going to put her hands on Jade, and she will stir your bitch ass up. So Red Velvet and Cody against Shaq and Jade Cargill is what it looks like.
Okay, one, Cody looks like such a tool, consistently asking Arn Anderson for coaching and life advice. Cody, you're the biggest star in that company. You don't need it. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. It looks like you're just trying to get Arn on TV, which is great because every one of us that have ever wrestled for WWE love Arn because he's one of the best agents to want to work with to help you set up your match and make it make sense. And great dude. Everyone respects the hell out of Arn Anderson. But you could have put him with anybody else in that company, and it would have made more sense and helped that talent, I'd argue, a lot more than it's able to help Cody. Cody's a by himself babyface. I don't know why he continues to layer shit on when he comes out. Like, he needs a belt. Well, Pyro's dope. His music is dope. But he comes out with like 55 people. Like he's got. I don't see why he thinks he needs that. He's a star on his own. And he's proven it with this company since he's started there. I think so, at least. He's not a gimmick. He doesn't need all these gimmicks and layers on top of him. I don't know why he thinks he needs them.
That's kind of part of the story that they tell with Cody, though, and it led to him losing to Brody Lee, is that he had so much going, and he was burning candles at both ends, and now he's got this big entourage, and his entourage would increase every single week. So I guess they were kind of trying to tell you that, yeah, like Matt Morgan is saying, that he just kind of surrounds himself with all this stuff that he really doesn't need, and he would probably be better off if he just focused. And in this segment, I will say that I never thought I'd hear myself say this, because I love Arn. I grew up with him. I think he's an all-time underrated wrestler. But Red Velvet cut circles around Arn Anderson when it came to their promos, because Arn's was very long and mumbling, and it seemed like he forgot his lines at some point. And Red Velvet came in there, and she didn't do anything too special, but she was very convicted, and I really liked her promo against Jade Cargill. She was just in there pissed off, fiery, and I liked it.
I'm going to point this out. Arn Anderson is considered a top 20 promo of all time.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. So that's really complimentary of Red Velvet, although I hate this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. she's done a much better job of not doing it 55 times when she comes out at first. You guys remember? I watch Dark. You probably don't watch Dark. She was all over Dark when she first started with this company. And her entrance, she does it like 7 times. So she's peeled it back a little bit. And there's a difference between her and Jade, if you hear when they cut their promos as well. She is a good promo. But believability as far as physical looking, I'm sorry, there is nobody more like believable looking that they will F you up than Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but none of the three of the four people in this match have not won a match on Dynamite yet, right? Or a singles match. I don't think Red Velvet.
I want to say Red Velvet has, maybe in a tag. I'm probably wrong.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say one of those times she came out with Brandy, she won. I think maybe her first time, but I'm not sure. I can't say that for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, again, it's build some of these people up. Let's give them some wins before announcing them for these big matches. I mean, Jade Cargill, she has the look. She has been featured. She kind of stands out on her own, but, you know.
Give her squashes. Give her squashes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Red Velvet, you know, again, you know, WWE, this is something that they do too much of, is where they recap every single, for every single segment on the show, they recap what happened the previous 3 weeks. AEW doesn't do enough of that. They should do it once or twice, just so you could see the history with Red Velvet, show that on Dark, you know, Brandi Rhodes was her manager. I think she was her manager once on Dynamite, maybe. Mm-hmm. And just kind of tell that story to people that, because the vast majority of their people don't watch Dark, are their fans. So anyway, that's going to be your match. And Stellar Justin Lopez with the $9.99 Super Chat. Thank you, Justin. Saying the NBA wasn't going to have an all-star game this year.
Why not?
But now it's rumored to happen on March 7th, which is when TNT usually carries the game. So we got to see if Shaq can make the pay-per-view if the rumors are true.
Dude, I want the damn All-Star game. No offense, Cody and AEW. I what the hell? I didn't even know they were thinking about not doing an All-Star game this year.
Yeah, so that's the date that they're choosing. And so they're not going to go back to the week before. I guess this date is set. So, yeah, if they do it. I mean, so Shaq, he works the team. He's like the
TNT,
broadcaster.
Quad host of, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if I don't
him, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, and Ernie.
TNT has a relationship with AEW. I wonder if they let him out of it for.
Well, that might have to be a cinematic match. Maybe they'll just do something pre-taped if push comes to shove.
Yeah,
and that's two cinematic matches because staying. Yeah.
And to be fair, Shaq covers the dunk contest normally. He covers like the All Star Saturday more than he does the actual Sunday game.
Okay. Lopez also saying, also that promo Shaq cut was cringeworthy. Okay. It was like something out of the 90s.
It was. But
I mean,
you have Shaquille O'Neal on their show. Shout out.
you got to have, again, as an actor, you got to have some motivation. And if I don't think he really has that yet, other than getting water thrown at him by Brandy, who can't be a part of the match. All right. So up next, Hangman Page versus Ryan Namath. For those of you who don't know, Ryan Namath is Dolph Ziggler's younger brother. Short match. I'm sorry, what's that match?
Nemeth.
Oh, Nemeth, sorry. What did I say, Namath?
Yeah.
Ah, Nemeth. Anyway, the finish, Hangman Page hit the Buckshot Lariat, get the win by pinfall. During the match, Matt Hardy was watching him. from the stage. I mean, from the ramp, and then clap for him after he won. So before I get into the post-match stuff, what'd you guys think of the match?
Good. I thought Ryan Nemeth looked pretty good. This was, it's tough to be showcased and take and pick up a loss as well. Right. So he looks great. He's always looked really good though. I don't know. I'd like to say, hey, hope he gets hired. But, dude, again, I'll point out Jurassic Express was, like, missing in action for, like, 3 months on television there. Like, they have so many good talents on this show. It's so hard to get on. Lance Archer with Jake Roberts, for crying out loud. For quite a while there, it felt like they were gone for a good month. It felt at least a while back, right? Like, so they need another show desperately. Desperately. Because they have that, that's a very stacked roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a more loaded roster, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it was pretty much all Hangman Adam Page. I learned nothing about Ryan Nemeth. And he's been around for a long time. He used to be part of the FCW system, I believe. So I know that he's good. He's a good hand and whatnot. But I don't see any reason as to why they had to have him on the show.
Maybe it was just to come in and do a one and done as a favor. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With, hey, look, we gave your brother a dark match. All right. You know, it is what it is. But we can't hire him right now. You know, maybe one day.
I was kind of surprised this wasn't on Dark, because usually they have like the debuts and things like that and the lesser used talent on there, unless they're going to be doing something with them.
I think it's the storyline between Big Money Matt and Hangman. You know, I love Big Money Matt, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I don't mean this Page wrestling, but I just mean having Nemeth's debut, like doing it in a dark match on Dark. But. So after that, Matt Hardy came down to the ring, Big Money Matt. I think this character in this environment is so much better than the Broken stuff.
Oh, my God, 1,000 times better. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. He says he knows how much Paige loved Omega and the Young Bucks, and they burned him. He said the Dark Order had been coming after him, and he doesn't want anything. He just wants Paige to be happy and that Paige deserves it. He said that he's seen where Paige dresses, and Hardy has a much bigger dressing room, and Paige is more than welcome to go there instead with no strings attached. And also bringing up that Paige has been on a little bit of a downturn lately. So great stuff.
Yeah, this is perfect for Matt Hardy. And he's done some really funny stuff. They have him on BTE still a lot, and he's freaking hilarious on that as well. Really, just great stuff.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. We were talking about this last week about how there's so many stables in AEW, and Hangman Adam Page, he's just a singles wrestler with no stable, but they consider him a free agent in AEW canon. Like, everybody has to be on a team in this company, so that was kind of weird. But I will say, I like that there's already a path to seeing how Hangman Adam Page is probably going to join the Dark Order, because what I see happening is Hardy and Private Party are probably going to be upset that Hangman Adam Page doesn't want to join them, and they'll go after Page 3-on-1, and he's going to need backup. So this is probably the path to him going to the Dark Order. So I like that they're already kind of planting those seeds.
Yeah.
You said this is probably him going to the Dark Order?
Yeah. I definitely think this is going to end with him going to the Dark Order, because he'll need their help against Matt Hardy and Private Party.
Yeah, that's what I agree. That's what I think is going to happen too. Next up, I thought, I'm sure most people thought this was the match of the night, Jungle Boy versus Dax Harwood. Dax the Axe, they were calling him. It's a long match, really good. Jungle Boy coming out to Tarzan Boy, and I know Tony Khan bought that for him. What's your thought on that?
I don't know what that is.
It's an 80s song.
Why don't I remember it?
It wasn't that big, but
because when I heard
you didn't recognize it when you heard it, Matt?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was a really popular song in the 80s. They've used it in movies and stuff like that.
Okay, I just thought he had not cool new music, but he had his own individual music. I thought that was cool, but that's about it. Anyways, this was a great match. Let's just talk about that real quick. Dude, Dax and his partner can't get on TV right now. That's how stacked this roster is. They're the best tag team in the world. Them or Bucks or whomever, but they're freaking awesome. They can't even get on TV.
Right.
Like, this is the first time they've wrestled in a match in many, many weeks.
Right.
I actually do like Jungle Boy's music. I know it looks like you're about to bury it, Raj, but I will say that Jungle Boy is a very good character with a live crowd. And you could even hear the fans were singing along with that music. So when he really gets over, when it's time for him to hit the ground running, when fans come back, that chant of Tarzan Boy, what fans will do in arenas all around the country, is going to help make him into an even bigger star.
I think it's good for a while, but I think as a top-level star, you need to get more of a serious edge. And again, I think for the time being, this works. But it'd be like coming out to Why Can't We Be Friends, you know? Like Homer Simpson did in that one episode of The Simpsons. At some point, if you want to have more of an edge and be, you know, like a Jericho or someone in the main event level, I don't know if that would work. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised with the ending. JB got the pin and actually was going for a pin and locked Harwood in a snare trap, and Harwood ended up tapping out. So that was pretty good.
Yeah,
it's been a while since they've shined up Jungle Boy, because when this company first opened up for business, like, he was the next big thing. I always thought I thought the company realized that as well, and I think they still realize that. It's just, again, they don't have enough minutes on television for everybody. Mm-hmm. They've really got to figure this out. Seriously, I know it feels early for them to be talking about two shows and whatnot because they've only been around for a year. They really do need another fully televised primetime show. They have to have one, man.
Yeah. And it's in the works. Tony Khan just did an interview with Renee Young, Renee Pichette.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, where he was saying the third hour, it's going to be a 1 hour show on a different night, and it's coming. Just, you know, obviously with this pandemic, we'll just have to see when.
Much needed.
So at ringside, Tully Blanchard and Cash Wheeler were handcuffed to Luchasaurus. They got the handcuffs removed. Tully threw powder into Luchasaurus's eyes, and then they did a beatdown on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for a while. They did a lot of Tully classic stuff. They did. It looked like they did the special Tully suplex, but then into a brainbuster, as opposed to just the suplex, the spring suplex, yes, into the ropes. And then they did the spike pile driver that they used to do in the WWF, that the brainbusters used to do in WWF. So.
Yep. Listen. This is set up for, they're gonna have a great tag team feud. Like, I'd pay money to see Jurassic Express, not Marco Stunt, stay the bleep out of their match, Marco, versus them. I think, you know, all four talents would tear that bleep up. They already have, but I think I'd like to see it continue.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that we're in 2021 and three of the four original horsemen command like major real estate in current wrestling programming between Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and Tully Blanchard? That's just, I just realized that when you're talking about Tully Blanchard, that just wrestling just doesn't know how to let go of its past. Yeah. But Tully was great tonight. I really liked Tully tonight. It was very old school, the way they used the handcuffs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Tully's great. And they gave him a while, because a lot of times they do these beatdowns after the matches and a bunch of guys run in right away. So they gave him a little while before Marco Stunt, of all people, ran in with the chair. And then SCU and Top Flight also came out. So outside, they had Team Taz doing a promo talking about their upcoming street fight with Sting and Darby Allin. And then they see a merchandise table and they beat up this merchandise guys. And Brian Cage did the old Kevin Nash, Rey Mysterio dart spot from Nitro in the late 90s, where he lifted him up and just threw him head first into the trailer. Yeah. Kind of a cool throwback, and, you know, I got the point across.
It was all right.
I think I like this better than Sting and Darby. When you compare the two segments, because they're going back and forth with each other, I thought this made them look like more badass than Sting and Darby.
Do you think by doing the same exact spot that Nash and Mysterio did, that it was a little, I don't know.
I mean, they're
paying tribute, but also not coming up with your own cool spot.
Right. I mean, you see this all the time in wrestling. Wrestling loves its Easter eggs, and I think they just realized a lot of people watching are hardcore fans who did watch that time. Yeah. And, you know, TNT and AEW has all kinds of callbacks to the Monday Night War era that they like doing.
Yes.
And this is just another thing that they did.
I mean, yeah.
We saw another example of that. When we'll get into it later, but Beat Up Jon Moxley is a callback to something that already happened.
That's right, yeah. So up next we had... we had Britt Baker versus Shanna. They went actually for a little while. At the end, Reba jumped up on the apron to do a distraction, distracted the referee. Breaker brought Shanna down and applied the lockjaw for the quick tap out. Britt Baker getting the win with the submission. After the match, Baker started beating her down, and then Thunder Rosa's music hit, and she ran out of the ring, ran to the ring, and then the heels ran off as Thunder Rosa checked on Shanna.
Yeah, Matt was talking about that extra hour. Britt Baker is one of the people I think could explode leaps and bounds when they do get that extra hour, because she gets better every time I see her in the ring, and she doesn't get that much ring time. But she looked really good here. I think Shanna did a good job making her look good. And I just kind of like the Britt Baker character. It's kind of this ridiculous, over-the-top character and all of her antics. But when you see her in the ring, she wrestles like a killer, like a monster in the violent moves that she uses.
Right. You know, we were talking about the beatdown after the match, and then someone ran in to get the save. Is that two so far that we've had?
I believe so, yeah. Is that three or two? No, it's two.
I feel like I'm missing one.
I think that's two.
All right, that's two. There's another one coming up.
This is three now, I think. Because the Jake the Snake, they remember they
abducted. Oh, yeah, so this is three.
The third, yeah.
Right. Okay, so then after that, we had MJF, a backstage segment with MJF and Sammy Guevara. MJF told him he didn't tell Wardlow to get involved in last week's match. MJF says he docked Wardlow's pay and it won't ever happen again. Sammy doesn't believe him. He says everyone believes what he says, but he believes what everybody says, but not him. And he says he sees exactly what MJF is up to. MJ asks him if he's sure he wants to play it that way, and Sammy responds, "I'm not playing."
Yeah, I mean, Sammy Guevara is going to be a huge babyface one day, and I think it's already happened. He's still aligned with his heel stable, but he's got a lot of promise as a babyface, I think.
Yeah. So next week on Beach Break, they're going to have the wedding of Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian. No bachelor party. They never did that.
Yeah, this is weird. And they have teased it on TV. Haven't they been talking about doing that? Yeah, so this is one of those things. This whole angle has been a mess, and this is kind of another example of it. So maybe this wedding is going to be so entertaining that it'll justify it, but I just see this thing continuing to go down the tube. I'm not into this.
I hope this is where Miro can break away.
Just go away, yeah, right? Just get the hell away from this stupid wedding angle that they booked him in. Like, I don't want to see the bachelor party. I don't want to see anything. I don't even want to see the damn wedding. I just want to press fast forward to the day after the wedding, and they start to get Miro by himself again. He's a main event star for that company, too, which is saying something. But he is. He's a bona fide main event talent. I don't care what anybody says. He is. And it's up to them to use him that way. Otherwise, they are not getting their money's worth from him. And that's their fault. That's bad investment.
Yeah. And one thing, another thing, Miro, he's got the brown hair back. I think that looks a lot better. So
it does.
Those small things. Also next week, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, a tag team battle royal with the winners facing the Young Bucks at Revolution. If the Young Bucks win, they get to pick their opponents. And then also Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Jon Moxley, Pac, and Rey Fénix.
So this is going to sound corny. I love the Revolution, the graphic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really pops. That really pops and looks different than other pay-per-views I've seen in the past. It looks very different, very, very green, very colorful. It pops right off the screen whenever you see it, even on your phone. I saw it today. That's why it was making me think of the street fight I saw.
Yeah.
A shot of that, and I was like, damn, that looks good, man.
Yeah.
Kind of Matrix-y? A little
yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. It looks dope.
Yeah, no, it looks good. Let's see. And then backstage, we had a promo with the Good Brothers and the Young Bucks. Gallows was hyping next week's match against Moxley, Fénix, and Pac. They did another throwback, which Alfred, you mentioned earlier, where Gallows and Anderson said one of their favorite things to do is, and they said, beat up Jon Moxley, which is a throwback to the beat up John Cena. Kenny Omega showed up, asked Matt if he's interrupting anything. Callis showed up with bandages all over the side of his face, and and Matt and Nick asked what happened to him. Cal said, "You assaulted me," and they started arguing as Omega kept them separated.
So they've effed this up. I don't want to say it. You know, I'm a homer. I admit it before we cover this podcast. I do. All right, for AEW, I give them a lot more rope than I do WWE. All right, fine. I can on this because this is the most important angle they have. And I feel they've bungled it. They had a great way when they went off the air, when they had Bucks, Two Sweeting, everybody, the other three, Good Brothers and Kenny Omega, when they went off the air. My opinion, that's the best they've gone off the air before. The hottest, the most intrigue, wanting to come back the next week and see what's up. And immediately it was, well, they're not really in, or are they? Right. Are they or are they not? Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not going to make me want to stay around and wait to see, do they join or not? Or are they just going to be enemies this entire time? Because if you're going to be enemies this whole time, stop kissing each other's asses. Right. You're not going to be hanging out in the hallway with them. Oh, but man, they go way back. Blah, 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 blah. No. This is a wrestling program. And this is where I don't like Shades of Grey. Not in your main event storyline like this. And it hurt. I think it makes the Bucks look bad, quite honestly. Either they're in or they're not. And if they're not, then keep their asses separated so when we do see them on the screen together, it means more. Not farting around playing grab ass backstage with jokes that, you know, what? How many people watch BTE? You said, Raj, 5,000, 50,000, something like that?
It's like 200,000 worldwide.
So that playing grab ass and making jokes that me and, you know, 199,000 other people get.
Right. And also, if you're doing the storyline, give it a little time to marinate, you know? Yeah. Like, the very next week, they're teasing dissension.
I thought I missed something. Raj, when we came back and we did NXT the following week, I go, I watch BTE. I watch Dark. I really do. I'm not BSing. I don't really miss an episode of any of that, of those shows. And I go, did I miss something? Was there something reported on, like, the wrestling sheets and something, the dirt sheets and stuff, that I missed that they broke up somehow or something happened, somebody turned on somebody? Because the next week, they're not in the group.
Right.
And yeah. Kenny did the stupid little thing. Oh, he's going to come on out. We're going to play your music. You're going to come on separate entrances. And then the Good Brothers came on out, you know, instead. Like, that was stupid. That was such a stupid move. I didn't like that.
Yeah. And a good portion of this audience doesn't, you know, or
watch all of those things.
Yeah. And a good portion don't watch New Japan. They're probably not that familiar with Bullet Club. They might have heard of it, but they didn't actually watch it. So explain that story a little bit.
They should explain that story a little bit better, right? They can show. Can't they show pictures? Have they showed pictures? And I just missed it. Maybe. Have they shown pictures of them in Japan?
I don't think so, Alfred.
I don't think they have. No, they might have in like a couple of those Road 2 shows that they do that you can see on YouTube. I know I've seen some like stills with like Kenny Omega and stuff like that in New Japan, but I don't think they've told that story on Dynamite.
They should tell that story.
Yeah, they really should. And I think, I will commend AEW on telling a story. They are going somewhere with this gimmick. It's not necessarily the direction I would go. And I do think they're telling the wrong story. I don't like the fact that they seemed excited. They seem to at least acknowledge the Bullet Club's a big deal by having them reunite when they went off the air. And there's a lot of money to be made, merchandise to sell by not necessarily calling them the Bullet Club, but let them unite, let them call themselves something, and then tease the dissension. You know, I think they're working backwards here. They're overthinking themselves, it seems like.
Now, yeah. I wonder if there's any legal ramifications with the Gallows Anderson using the term Bullet Club on the show that, you know, New Japan owns.
They may have worked something out behind the scenes for all we know. Who knows? You know, maybe Anderson's the only one that can say it. Maybe Gallows is the only one that can say it in a one-off, you know, one-time thing maybe because they're going back to New Japan. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's a good point, actually.
Maybe it's the same as when they say shit, that they can only say it one time per hour and they'll be fine.
Right. Yeah. Right. And like New Japan has new ownership. Maybe they gave their blessing to them to do it. But anyway, so they basically Young Bucks, they tease that if they win the Battle Royal, they can choose their own opponents. And they tease that it might be Gallows and Anderson. Finally, the main event, we had the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers versus the Dark Order. As you'd expect, Grayson took the pin after a Meltzer driver by Matt and Nick. They got the 1-2-3. Afterwards, Matt got on the mic and said, whoever wins the Battle Royal gets, they get to pick their opponent and they might be able to. And hinted it might be Gallows and Anderson. They said, you know, that's great, too sweet. They all did this too sweet gesture. Then we had another run-in after that. Phoenix ran out by himself. Pentagon is apparently injured. He's out for a while. Phoenix hit a slingshot double dropkick on the Bucks. The Good Brothers took him down, and then Moxley came in for the save. Omega ran out, but Moxley got him right away, and Moxley and Phoenix celebrated as the show closed.
So again, the Bucks are friends with the Good Brothers again. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all over the place for me. I you know, they get our hopes all up that they are all together, but yet they're not.
Yeah.
They found a way to manage you guys to actually confirm one of the biggest like wrestling sayings there is, which is you can't be halfway pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. That's what a lot of like agents would say to me about certain things I'd want to do in my match or my promos. Like either you're going to go all the way or you're not, you know? Yeah. They have found a way to be halfway pregnant with this Young Bucks and Good Brothers click too sweet shit storyline.
And that being said, it was, and real quick, another thing that Great this match. Was one thing that kind of bugged me with Kenny Omega is that since he's won the title, he's been wearing suits. He's been looking, you know, all awesome. Debonair. And then tonight, he looks like he's back to going to the gym. Stay consistent with that. If you're changing your character up to where you're wearing fancy suits and everything, keep that up. You don't
keep doing it.
Yeah,
Ric
Flair wasn't out in shorts and a t-shirt, you know, doing a run-in when he was doing his character. So.
And he's not doing a knockoff on Ric Flair, obviously. Right. He's a professional athlete. He's the world's heavyweight champion. He's spending his money. He's making more money. Therefore, he's spending it on nice things, the finer things in life, the things that we don't like seeing being thrown in our face. Right. And so when he comes out with clothes that you could find at middle school, you know, what do you call it? Clothes return. Right. Lost and found, rather, you know, in the front office, you don't look like a star.
Yeah. But outside of that, I thought it was a fun show.
Yeah.
Great. And we needed to, we don't have that much time to do this, but I was going to say that match deserves more time to talk about. That match was frigging off the chain good. That was such a great match.
I think the main event for AEW when they put out those quarter by quarter numbers is going to absolutely slaughter NXT because that main event was good, but it took a long time to get going. I was watching them back and forth, and you're just seeing AEW, especially when they came out of break. They're flying all over the place, power bombing each other on the apron, and NXT, they're just laying on each other, doing all this technical British stuff that is not going to really appeal to an American audience, and I think they're just going to get annihilated.
Killed. Yeah.
Real quick, King Rail is asking off-topic question. If you trade places with the AEW WWE star, who personally Bucks to WWE and Dolph to AEW, and then he changed it and said not okay. Bucks, Kenny. Sorry, Kenny to WWE.
I don't think they'd use him, right? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If he gets a legit opportunity like AJ got,
that's the thing. Because of AJ Styles, I would have no problem with. I think Kenny's one of those cream rising to the top type guys where, a lot of people put Ricochet in that category. And as much as I love Ricochet, I always thought there was a chance I could screw. I don't think there's a chance they could screw Kenny Omega up, even if they tried. I think he's that good in terms of a guy who would just be a top star no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in WWE, you have to have strong promo skills. And AJ really showed that he does. And so, and real quick, Bigfoot Sneakerhead saying, hey guys, I just love the NXT women's division. I feel the NXT women's title is more important than the WWE title. Just give them their own show.
I agree. Okay. We'll get into that. Okay. They do a great job. NXT has a very UFC style way of booking their titles in that one guy's a champion and you know at least three people who want a shot. They don't just go from guy to guy and they have to have a feud because the pay-per-view is coming up. There are like three people calling out the NXT world champion on the men's side, and there's three women calling out the NXT women's champion, and it's brilliant. It's like sports. Yeah.
My only thing with them getting their own show is getting another TV deal would be tough, and you see the emphasis anytime they add a new show on with how they treat it. I mean, 205 Live, you have to remind yourself that it's even there.
Yeah.
All right, Alfred, do you want to take over NXT?
Absolutely. We get into NXT. They start off kind of hot. MSK against Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. There's a lot of high flying in this. Much of a showcase of MSK who looked great. The finish came where I believe it was Nash Carter hitting the moonsault to the outside on Dane, and then they hit their double team finish on Drake Maverick for the win. So MSK moves on in the Dusty Rhodes Classic. What did you think about this opener, Matt?
Good. good showcase match. Good showcase match, you guys, I thought.
Yeah.
They were able to get all their bleep in, right? All their crap. I thought all three of them were coming, though. And I saw an Impact. Trey, whatever the hell his name is, went back to Impact. So, anyways, just a little tidbit I saw. But great showcase for them. Great showcase with a new crowd, new audience.
And that was actually a story that I broke when it first happened, that they were all believed to go to WWE. And so, you know, they hadn't signed yet, but it was, they were having talks with WWE. It was believed that's where they were headed. And Triple H was asked about that. Nick Hausman, our own Nick Hausman, asked him, you know, what's up with Trey Miguel? Why hasn't he signed? And Triple H kind of made it sound like it was Miguel's fault. Like, if he doesn't, he said something along the lines of, if he doesn't want to be in NXT, you know, then he's not going to be in NXT.
And Miguel actually hit back on that. And I believe he said there were some personal problems he was going through. There was a death in his family.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I think that's what he said. That's why he wasn't, you know, he was kind of mulling his options.
Can I tell you something? Back when I was wrestling there, dude, you couldn't even get away saying something like that. Like, today, at least there'd be outrage if that's the case. And like Hunter said that. And like, people will at least stick up for him. Like, dude, he had a death in the family. What the hell is wrong with you? And like, he would have to apologize. Back when I was there, dude, no. There's no way. I was told there's no reasonable explanation why you could ever miss a date. No death in the family is good enough. Me asking my wife's hand in marriage was definitely not good enough. Even though I had 6 months in advance notice I gave Jim Ross, but nonetheless. And you get yourself heat. They'll be like, yeah, sure, no problem, go. But then you'll be on Velocity for 3 straight months.
Right.
You know what I mean? So... different. It's much different and better day and age for wrestling talents today, I'll say.
Yeah.
And just to clear up that Trey Miguel, I just went back and checked. It was that his nephew was born and had some health concerns, but you know, that's all he would say. It wasn't necessarily that. It was just something with his nephew born. So, but you know, hopefully, so you said he signed with Impact. He's going to go back with Impact.
Yeah, he was on just this past week. He made his return.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, and I believe he has officially signed. I don't think it was a one-time thing. I just received something about that yesterday, and I haven't gotten to post it yet.
Dude, Trey Miguel, man, you should have went to the E, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they would hold back. That again. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Fix it. Whatever happened, whatever bumbled this up, just call them and fix it.
Oh.
Non-communication
is a wrestler's death. Wrestlers always expect the office to call the talent, not the other way around. And the office is very cocky, depending on who's in the office for WWE time. And they expect, like John Laurinaitis, they expect the talents to reach out to you, to him. And no communication happens. Sorry.
We have a backstage interview with Kurt Stallion. He's introducing who he is. He's talking about making towns. His big line was that he's the lone star and he's looking to become a superstar. God love the guy. I thought this is terrible. I didn't know who Kurt Stallion was before, and this did not make me excited for anything.
You mumbled over him hitting the towns. Do you have it written down by any chance?
I did. I said that. I said that's one of the things he said. I'm making my towns. He said a lot of catchphrases.
I want to make sure I said it right. I popped huge for that line. I was like, why are you saying that? Nobody knows the hell that is. You're talking like an old carny talent.
Yeah, I mean, this did nothing for me. I mean, they had him say all the right things. Just, I don't know. Later on in the night, Kurt Stallion was attacked. We don't know who did it yet. We'll get into that, but this match did not
take care? Place. Do we care? Do we care
who attacked him? No. you know, I wasn't a fan of this. God love Kurt Stallion. Hopefully he figures it out. But
it's a terrible name, too. Poor Kurt Stallion buried before he even began. Poor
guy. I just don't know about this. Then we get Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. They're back together against Aaliyah and Jess Kamea. Kamea and Aaliyah, we haven't seen them really for, I want to say, months. Maybe 6 months. They're part of the Robert Stone brand. And I thought they looked really good. They did like kind of a double splits maneuver. They didn't do anything offensive. I thought Raquel Gonzalez looked like a monster as always. The finish just basically came where they tagged her in. She cut off a comeback from Jess Kamea and hit her choke bomb. It continues to look great. And Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai are really being positioned as favorites for the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
They should. They're killers. Dakota Kai, too. I love Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai was a top five women's talent there for quite a long time. If you go back, when the next influx of women talent started on that show, with Rhea Ripley and company, right? Dakota Kai was a top five talent at the time. I hope she gets back there because I think she's incredibly underrated.
Yeah, no, she's great. Yeah, she just seems to be kind of on the outside looking in because she was.
Oh, wait, yes.
Yeah, but hopefully she gets cycled back in once they get through some of these women. It looks like they're going to kind of speed it up. We'll get it into this a little later in terms of who challenges for the NXT Women's Championship. Looks like they're going to go into a triple threat, so that'll open more space for Dakota coming out of their next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Backstage, we get a segment with The Way. So Johnny Gargano before didn't want to hear the word curse. Now it's the word Kushida he doesn't want to hear. And Austin Theory kind of playing up his dumb guy character, keeps saying Kushida. And Dexter Lumis is watching backstage. Then we go to Tyler Rust against some guy. They don't say what his name was. It's just an enhancement talent. It was good because it was a showcase of Tyler Rust, but they went a while and they went back and forth. And this guy who I've never heard of got a lot of offense, including a guillotine choke. So Tyler Rust was in trouble in some of the parts of this match, but he did win. The story they're telling here is that Tyler Rust last week chose his own opponent. It was Bronson Reed, and he lost. Now Malcolm Bivens is choosing his opponent, so they're guys who are much easier for Tyler Rust to beat.
Hey, chat room, let us know if they said the opponent's name at all on commentary, please.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I don't think they said it all. But, the guy didn't look bad, to be honest, but I was just surprised at how much offense he got.
Real quick, Jody Shauna Jenkins with the $5 super chat saying, I can't look at Karrion Kross without thinking of the Deacon Batista gimmick. The fangs, etc., their mannerisms are really close. Anyone else feel that?
Deacon Batista didn't have fangs, though. I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture. I don't think he had fangs either.
Unless he means when he was Leviathan.
Oh, Leviathan. Yeah. Yeah.
Leviathan, the demon of the deep from OVW. Yeah, except, by the way, Leviathan was 385 pounds of muscle. No joke. It's when he was his biggest. I'd never seen a human that wide in my life. Like, you thought Batista was big with WWE? He had to lose muscle so he could become a better wrestler and get out of his own way and not tear muscles every 2 weeks. He was too big, too muscular. Like, I'd never seen that or heard a problem like that before. He had it. But anyways, no, I don't get that out of that with Killer Kross. I don't.
And Karrion Kross was not on this show, but they did do a backstage kind of promo with Scarlett.
He's a much better worker, than definitely Deacon Batista and Leviathan were. Leviathan was doing stupid tackle spots still when he was Leviathan. And Deacon Batista, he had to be a bodyguard because he was still greener than goose shit. He hadn't learned anything yet. You know, once he started going, then yeah. Different story. He became a very good talent.
Yeah. King Rail is asking, who from NXT do you think we get in the Rumble? And do they stay on the main roster after? Damian Priest?
I don't know what to say because they blew it with Keith Lee. When they did this with Keith Lee, he got such a spotlight. He looked amazing.
Yeah, that cool spot with Lesnar.
Yes, he was instantly made. That's your biggest star. You could tell Brock wanted to work with him.
Yeah, I was like, who the freak is this guy?
Tell loved that. He was selling for him with how he was looking at him and everything. He was selling big time for him. I don't know why they dropped the ball with him, but whatever.
I think we're definitely getting Rhea Ripley. She might even win for all I know. I think they just like Raquel Gonzalez so much, and she is a monster. And I know she's kind of neat in an NXT feud, but she just seems like the type of person who they'd want to get out there and eliminate 3-4 people just to kind of establish that she's coming.
Yes.
I can see that.
Okay.
Kind of like the Bianca Belair spot last year.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we get Leon Ruff and Kushida against the Grizzled Young Vets. Ruff and Kushida have not been teaming together for long, but I always have so much fun watching them in the ring. There was a lot of cool stuff they did. They did a lot of tag team strategy moves, like Kushida blocking people off to make sure there was nobody coming in for the pin. So I like how these guys work together. Ruff did this like Spider-Man-like maneuver where he's springboarding from one rope to the other. I thought they were really good, but they did not win. Ruff, I guess, hits moonsault to the outside, but then the Grizzly Young Vets hit Ticket to Ride for the win. Gargano and Theory lay out Kushida and Ruff after the match, and then Dexter Lumis once again pops up in the crowd and scares Austin Theory, who goes running to Gargano like a child running to his father. And nothing happened after that. They just
What if nothing happened? Alpha, yeah, there's too much. This thing had way too much shit in this.
All this stuff happened. I mean, with Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis just stood there and he didn't go after him, but he just kind of stared.
Because it's stupid. The Dexter Lumis stuff is stupid. It's so corny. I get nothing out of it. He's just always sitting there perving, staring at people. It's weird. I get that's what we're supposed to be feeling. So great. And good job. They did that. They accomplished that. But like, this match was a great tag match. Yeah. And you immediately shit all over it by, again, throwing 20 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag within that segment. That match was perfectly timed. Everything was well executed. He's, like you said, great execution on old school tag team tandem wrestling, right? Yeah. Being a true team with one another. I dug all of that. And at the end, even though I love Johnny Gargano, I love what he's doing, I just didn't think this was the time to do any of that stuff after the match.
Yeah, there was a lot going on here. This is where backstage Chris Stallion is attacked. Listen, it's not real, so I was kind of glad because it meant we didn't have to see any more of Chris Stallion. But hey, maybe he'll get better. Then we get Legado del Fantasma backstage, and Regal comes in piping hot. He's angry at Legado del Fantasma. He's saying they're the ones who attacked Chris Stallion. They're acting like they don't know what happened. And Regal says that Chris Stallion will face Santos Escobar next week, and if he somehow gets attacked, there will be consequences. And it was at this point that Santos Escobar finds a, you know, kind of a tarot card that says the end is near. So if you remember last week, Santos Escobar cut a promo on Karrion Kross saying that, you know, the title isn't the only chip that you lost off your shoulder, or something of those lines. So it looks like they're going to follow up with Karrion Kross going out.
That's definitely, it's definitely Killer Kross. Sorry, Karrion Kross. Real quick, this was, I think Fantasmo is a big time star.
Me too.
Right? He gives you that feel. Every time he's on that damn camera, I get that feel every time. Doesn't matter what he's doing at this point. He could be walking down the hall. Folks, coming up next, we've got, you know, like that. Even then, he looks like a star.
Yeah, and I don't like the fact that it seems like, because I really love the fact that as a Cruiserweight champion, he's calling out all the other champions and putting that title on the same level. Seems like they're just doing that to build him up in a chum bait for Karrion Kross. I don't necessarily think he's the type of wrestler who's just getting destroyed by Karrion Kross.
So I think Karrion Kross is a bigger star.
Yeah, sure. But
that's, you're right. There's no reason to go ahead and hit the fast forward button on Fantasmo and feed him already. I agree with that. You know, keep him away from him a little bit longer if you could.
We get a Toni Storm segment, which is just fantastic for Toni Storm. I thought she just calls out Io. Io shows up and they start to brawl. Io initially holds the ring, but then Mercedes Martinez comes out, lays out Io. Back comes Toni Storm, and now all three of them start to brawl. At the end, when the smoke clears, Toni Storm is standing tall with the NXT Women's Championship. What do you think about
that? Boy, did that look good. That outshot looked great. Yeah. And that's when people say, you know, does this person pass the looks test, that they're a star? It's that outshot holding. What would they look like holding a championship title, either standing on the second turnbuckle or standing in the middle of the ring over somebody's dead body, holding that title high over your head? That's the money shot, right? And how would they look doing that? Would you buy it, you know? Yes, for Toni Storm. In every sense of the word, yes. She's a mega. Honest to God, I think she could be a mega star if they booked her correctly.
That's all that was going through my mind watching this. And not only that, I mean, they're positioning her as a heel, and she can play the role. But just watching her offense and that running butt bump she does, and it's just so fun to watch her do these moves that it's like, man, she's coming off like such a baby face. Like, how do you boo this woman? And I mean, she cleared this ring with this legit badass and Mercedes Martinez and Io Shirai, who's been dominant, and she just completely ran wild on him. And I thought it made her look like such a baby face.
Yeah.
She's a star, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and that would be a good choice for making a surprise appearance in the Rumble and letting her get a couple of eliminations in.
Yeah.
Stephen Marchiciulli saying, since NXT call-ups haven't won the Rumble, how about Ripley for the women's? And who wins it for the men? I think Kross deserves a Goldberg streak. Real quick, women's Royal Rumble winner.
Ripley's an easy one. I shouldn't say easy, but Ripley, it makes sense for her to win. Men? I honestly have no idea. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
It really can.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my picks. I mean, we made these picks a couple weeks ago. I said Daniel Bryan and Alexa Bliss, and I'm sticking with that.
I'm going to go Alexa Bliss and Edge.
Ooh, the Edge pick could be good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a great story, and he should go after Roman. But
yeah, he should. I like how, I mean, it's wide open for the wrong reasons because they're just not telling you the story. But I love the fact that it is wide open. I have literally no idea who's going to win this thing. And I haven't felt that way in a long time. Yeah.
No, there's always a tip off. There's always some type of tip of who the, you know, at least three talents out of the bunch have a best chance of winning it, right? We don't have that this year.
We go backstage and Swerve Scott cuts a weird promo. He tells Mackenzie Mitchell to point her finger at him. And then she points at him and he goes, how many fingers are pointing back at you? So he's doing this kind of conspiracy gimmick where he thinks everybody blames him for everything. Then we get a promo with Roderick Strong and Undisputed Era, who kind of cut the same promo they've been cutting. We're going to be two-time Dusty Cup champions. Swerve Scott has a match with Bronson Reed. I had no problem with the match, but Swerve got beaten. I mean, there's so many people who could do this role. It's so weird how they just keep, as much as they put into Swerve Scott, that he's the guy who's just in this role. But Bronson Reed looked good.
It was all right.
I
think they lost viewers on this match, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We get Thatcher and Ciampa cutting a promo together. I mean, this just fits when you see them together. It's this backstage promo of these two tough guys. They don't look particularly pleased to be teaming together because they're not looking at each other in the eye or like friends or anything. And in fact, Ciampa just walks off after the promo, but I just love this. This just makes so much sense with these two.
Yeah, it does.
They're going to go up against Undisputed Era next week. And then finally, we get the main event, Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly. This is what I was talking about earlier. It's a very technical match. Nothing wrong with it, but it started very slow. They spent a lot of time doing a lot of submission chain wrestling. And, I mean, this is going head-to-head with this match on AEW that is just – they're just going wild. Like, it's usually what you see to open AEW, how hot they started. That's what's going on the other channel. And these guys are just kind of doing a lot of technical stuff. But the match finally comes to an end. It was a pretty cool finish where Kyle O'Reilly catches Danny Burch mid-drop kick and slaps on a knee bar for the win. And then we get a lot of stuff with Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch attacking Finn Balor. They managed to do the finger snap gimmick with Finn Balor's fingers before Undisputed Era runs in and runs them off. And then we kind of get Finn Balor kind of standing tall with Undisputed Era, but at the same time wanting revenge against Pete Dunne. So they're clearly headed in that direction with Pete Dunne and Finn Balor.
Okay, so real quick, I'm sorry, I've got to say it. I think the Finn Balor NXT experiment has been an utter failure. Failure. And no offense to him, but that title has never – I'm being dead serious. I think he's been the worst NXT champion.
Of all time?
This run.
This run right now, not his – definitely not his demon and first run with NXT. He is one of the best, I would argue. Yeah. But this run, no question. I mean – whose was worse, Bobby? Like, whose? Let's think of some.
I mean, yeah, that is a very intriguing question. I have not felt that down on it. I think it's been fun.
They've been incredibly careful with who they've put that title on and what they've done with that talent. If you go back and you think of all the ones, I wrote them out earlier, a whole bunch of them, but it's incredibly underwhelming. His matches are great. But he has a talent when he talks and wants to supposed to be selling me into caring about his character. Right. I don't give a shit. I just don't.
Yeah, there's no buzz for any of his matches. If you only care about wrestling, then him and Kyle O'Reilly, that's great. But, you know, outside of that.
Look at Phantasmo, for instance. I'll use him as my example. Like, there's something about him that draws me to want to see his stuff, to see what they have for him next week and so on and so forth. And maybe, to be fair, that's not a good example to use because he's still up. He's still on his, my favorite word, crescendo. He's on his rise still, right? His star is still going higher and higher, whereas Finn Balor's is not, all right? They took him off the main roster. They put him to NXT, and I just don't think he's done for that show what I was told he was going to do for this show.
I will say that this Finn Balor character is the type of Finn Balor, if they're so dead set on not having him be the demon all the time, which I think is the move with him.
Stupid. It's so stupid.
Right. If they're going to make him Finn Balor, this is a character I'd like to see because if you remember him in WWE, he always had to smile and he was just this goofy character. And now he's the prince where he literally never smiles. It's his gimmick. And he's a badass. And they actually promote him as being somebody who can fight and who can wrestle and whatnot. If that character was in WWE, I think you'd have more of a chance than because I have liked the refreshing of Finn Balor, now he's not the smiling guy that he was in WWE. No. I don't think it's been as offensive, but I can see how it's not really moving the needle. You know, that's definitely a valid concern in terms of the character.
Neither is this Dusty Classic, and I hate to say it, but they're getting killed with these tag matches in the ratings.
Yeah. They absolutely are, and the shows are starting to kind of run together, really.
You don't think the women's tag will hold up, or did that get killed too?
They're all getting. I mean, every episode's getting killed.
Yeah. It's just especially when you know it's a tournament. I think tournaments are better when it's in one night, and if it's just this long thing that's going on and on through all these weeks, it's really easy to kind of ignore these early round matches.
Well, here's the problem. Remember today's society. I thought when I was wrestling, and I used to accuse the fans of living in this microwave era, that they don't want to wait and see a storyline played out. And that's when I was wrestling. Like, now, it's even faster. It's even they want more now. We do have fans that do like long played-out storylines. Of course we do. But if you look at the ratings and what generally registers – people have very short attention spans, shorter than ever right now because of all the choices they have to go flick around on other streaming services and a million other things to be doing, right? So many different platforms to watch TV nowadays. So it's even a shorter attention span, I'd argue. So I think you're right. If you have to do a tournament, do it all in one night. I want that payoff.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna contribute 2 hours of my time to watch your damn show, okay, then I want the payoff of the tournament. Don't tell me to come back 2 weeks from now or a week from now and then watch it then. That's what I think most fans are doing is with their attention spans. Yeah.
And, I mean, one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time was, if you remember, Survivor Series Deadly Games in 98, the first night The Rock ever won the WWE Championship. That was a 16-person tournament or something like that. And they did a good job weaving stories in and out of all the tournament matches in addition to giving you a satisfying tournament.
I stumbled across this Royal Rumble on VHS that, God, it was different. It was like this tournament. I forget what year it was. And it was awesome. It was like a 2.5-hour show.
Yeah.
It was on like a taped – it's hard to explain. But anyways, it was a one-shot tournament is what it was. And it was awesome. I mean, I'm talking back when I was a kid. I think people would dig the one, you know, day tournament better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could just be a show, a two-hour show. WWE is all about their content anyway and producing original content. This should be like a two-hour special of the Dusty Rhodes Classic because tag team wrestling is far too niche to invest weeks of programming into it.
We're still an episode of NXT with it. Try something new against AEW. That's been kicking your ass.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for WWE tag team wrestling, because AEW does tag team wrestling, you know, they promote the tag team division like it's just as important as a world title.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if the NXT did all women's, though, and like say next Wednesday, for example, the 2 hours go to nothing but the women talent. I think you'd see a different number if they promoted it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they'd beat AEW. I don't know. I just know it would be higher than what it is tonight. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I agree.
Real quick, Bigfoot Sneakerhead's asking, Matt, if WWE asked you to enter the Royal Rumble, would you? And no. If they asked you to stay until WrestleMania, would you want to work? Who would you want to work with?
Yeah, AJ is a good call. Yeah, he was my favorite opponent, safest opponent, easiest opponent to work with. Or Kurt Angle, who's no longer working. No, that's how I was coming back in 2014, was exactly that exact setup.
Bear Hudson saying, what do you think of the Bianca Belair Chronicle, and should she be the favorite to win the Royal Rumble? Bianca Belair is a megastar.
She is so adorable, though, to steal Glenn's word. If you watched that special on her, the Chronicle, that was really well done. And she just has such a great attitude. She's always smiling. And when people smile, I don't know about you guys, but like when certain people smile, you feel it. It's organic. And you're like, that's a really happy person. That's a very grateful person. That's a special person. I get that when I watch. Well, whenever she smiles, I get that from her.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch. I mean, I've watched just about all of WWE's documentary. I think they do phenomenal work when it comes to documentaries. Because it's pro wrestling, it's never going to be considered for an Emmy. But if these Emmy people did consider everything, like this is Emmy caliber type documentary work that they do. And so the Day Of series is really good, and I've got that on my docket to watch with Bianca Belair. I can't wait. And I do think, she's actually, I believe she's the number one favorite. The new odds just came out today, and if she wasn't number one, she's like either number two or three.
To win the Battle Royal?
Win the Royal Rumble, yeah. She's very high up there.
That's cool. Huh. Uncomfortable silence.
Yeah.
Raj is making a Wrestling Inc. faster for you guys.
Oh, Alfred. So that's, we're done with NXT?
Yeah, so also, yeah, we're done. Okay. Yeah, that was the main event. The show is over, and they went off the air with Finn Balor and Pete Dunne staring each other down.
Oh, gotcha. All right, real quick, the Raw ratings this past Monday, they did 1.82 million viewers, down from last week, 1.855. This is the Royal Rumble go-home show. This is typically the highest-rated part of WWE season from now till WrestleMania, to a couple weeks after WrestleMania. So, you know, big drop from last year with 1.82 million viewers. Well, SmackDown's been doing well, really well.
Yeah. This is a very scary trend for WWE. Sorry, Matt, in that this is another go-home show. And if you remember, the last three times they've had their lowest viewership ever, those were for go-home shows. Yeah, and so this one's another go-home show that didn't do well. And it's just very, very bad trend.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Matt, do you have anything you want to plug?
No.
Alfred, what about you?
Follow me on Twitter at This Is Nasty. Read my articles on Forbes. And then watch my pro wrestling YouTube channel, Pro Wrestling Bits.
And myself, for all you checking out Wrestling Inc., if you see anything weird, anything seem off, make sure to let me know. You can DM me, email us, let us know. We want to make sure all the kinks are worked out in the next day or two. I think we got them all. But thank you all for joining us. Join us, as always, after SmackDown this Friday night with Matt Morgan and Glenn Rubenstein. And we'll see you then. And also, again, this Sunday after the Royal Rumble. So thanks, everyone, for joining in, and take care.